Good morning. This morning we celebrate two lasts. This is the last pre-recorded sermon. Next week we're going to be out in the parking lot, and our service is going to start at 9 a.m. to take advantage of the cooler morning weather. And the second last is that this is the final sermon in our series going through the book of Ephesians, our series entitled In Christ. The title of this sermon is Where Does My Help Come From? And that question comes from Psalm 121. Where does my help come from? And as we have been meditating on Ephesians, our series title, In Christ, helps us answer that question and understand better this foundational reality that we live upon. Paul's encouraging letter to the Ephesians comes down to three things: belief, belonging, and behavior. And we start with worship in chapter 1. And in the original language, chapter 1 is two sentences long. It's this full-throttled symphony of praise. Ephesians ends with two instructions. Paul tells us to stand firm and to pray. Now, verse 10 out of chapter 6 tells us to be strong in the Lord. And that's not a wish, that's a command. It calls for determination on our part to put on the full armor of God. The elements of this armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the boots of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit represent both a gift from God and an act of obedience by us. This armor provides us with the ability to speak the truth in love. It provides us with a righteousness received by faith, stability and security, the fullness of faith, salvation, and the Word of God. And each item represents God's saving work and our response to His saving work. Now, looking at these attributes as a whole, instead of considering each one individually, provides us with an assurance of the totality of God's protection for us against the enemy. In the book of Revelation, when there's a discussion on the end of the world and the evil that's running wild, the believer is never told to fight against it, never told to attempt to prevent the evil. The call for us in the book of Revelation is to have courage, endurance, to have perseverance. The word overcome is used several times in Revelation in speaking to the believer. And it's an encouragement to the one who overcomes. In Ephesians, we're told to stand firm, but not on our own power, as Patrick said last week. This begins with admitting our weaknesses so that we can put on this full armor of God. This echoes David in Psalm 11 when he writes, "When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And within Psalm 11, it's answered, "The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is on His heavenly throne." So stand firm, wearing the armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and His mighty power, it says in verse 11. The elements of the armor of God are defensive. We are urged to withstand the enemy and not give in to fear as we put on this defensive armor. The offensive element is prayer. Now, our covenant group this summer went through together, we read Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. And the main character, Christian, is on a journey to the celestial city. And as he's on this journey, he passes through the valley of the shadow of death. And he finds himself walking along the edge of hell. Now, there's no one to fight in this scene, but the danger is very real. The sword is of no use, so he takes up another weapon. John Bunyan calls it all prayer. And this all prayer comes from Paul's four alls concerning prayer in Ephesians. Paul says to pray on all occasions, with all kinds of prayer, in all readiness, for all the Lord's people. This is the Christian's most powerful resource. Prayer ought to permeate our lives as a universal practice. It is to be who we are. It should be how we are known. I once had the pleasure of experiencing live the musicianship of a Brazilian percussionist named Nana Vasconcelos. He was playing with the Pat Metheny Group, a jazz band, and at one moment in the concert, he was allowed to play a solo, and he played, the instrument is called a berimbau. It is a single-stringed bow instrument with a gourd at the bottom, and he played this five-minute melody on that one string. And as he played, it lifted the entire audience and woke up our imagination and our passion. He brought us to another place, and it was an intimate place. The best description I've heard written about Nana is that everything he did was musical. The way he walked, the way he talked, the cadence of his voice, the way he watched others in the band, everything was musical. And his participation within a musician's group made the work of his fellow musicians sound deeper and richer. And you see, that's what I think of with Paul's fourfold all prayer. We should incorporate the all prayer. It should be who we are, so that everything we do is prayer. Praying in the Spirit means we're invited into the family dialogue of the triune God. We enter into this intimate family conversation. It's there that we discover the purpose of prayer, which is intimacy with God. Everything we do should be in prayer. Prayer should be as consistent and as necessary as breathing, Doug Webster said in his book. Now we've all had different struggles during this COVID time. My personal struggle has been for sluggishness, both physically and spiritually. And often I would ask myself, what can I do to participate in the kingdom of God during this isolation? And it was in my preparation for this message that I came to realize that I can pray for others. Ben Patterson, he's the former chaplain of Westmont University. Before that, he was a pastor at a Presbyterian church in New Jersey. And while he was in New Jersey, he had to have back surgery. And the recuperation was 6 weeks flat on his back at home. And he couldn't catch up on reading because the small print, his eyes couldn't adjust to the small print laying on his back. And he thought, what am I going to do? And then he asked his wife, Loretta, to bring him the church pictorial directory. And each day he would open to a page and pray for the people of his congregation. Pray on all occasions, with all kinds of prayer, in all readiness, for all the Lord's people. This is a way of life, not an activity only done during our quiet time. It is, as Karl Barth said, it is an uninterrupted address and response to God. And that kind of all prayer brings everything under the lordship of Christ instead of just a self-preoccupied exercise. We are to be always alert in our prayer. And that reminds us of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was there that he stressed to his disciples the need to be watchful. We're to pray for all the Lord's people. It is the Lord who is going to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth. And then Paul finishes the section by saying, pray also for me. And that reminds us, in this congregation, to pray for Patrick. and to pray for Pat Little. Pray for the missionaries that we know. We pray that all of them will make known the mystery of the gospel to those who hear their voice. The point of prayer is that it accomplishes things that we couldn't do by our own effort or on our own skill. Prayer brings us to and causes us to stand at the threshold of human time and God's time. And it's there that we learn both humility and hope. As Moses said in Psalm 90, prayer teaches us to number our days that we may present and gain a heart of wisdom. Now, if you're going to take prayer seriously, you might consider planning it out a little bit. The actor Tom Hanks played Fred Rogers in the movie A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. And there's a scene in that movie where the character Mr. Rogers is praying for those he has met while doing his work. And he has just a little journal like this. And he's written the names of the people that he's met and come in contact with during his work. And each morning begins with him going through that journal and praying for each person by name. And he carries that journal with him throughout the day. These instructions from Paul are different than his discussion on spiritual gifts in other letters he's written. The spiritual gifts are given to Christ's people, and they vary dependent upon the person. Not every Christian has the same gift. However, these instructions are universal blessings for all of us. Stand firm, put on the full armor of God, and pray. We all have these gifts available to us. It is up to us to receive them and to become disciplined in them. And as we reach the end of Paul's encouraging letter, the closing greeting to the Ephesians emphasizes peace. Peace with God and peace with others. Verse 23 says, "Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love." And he mentions love three times in that conclusion, which is fitting for a letter where the love of God, the sacrificial love of Christ, and Christian love has been paramount for understanding our belief, our belonging, and our behavior. All this is available to us because of the work of Christ, which restores us to a right relationship with God the Father. In the end, peace is bound up closely with love and faith. This peace transcends all traditional barriers. This peace is central to the message to the Ephesians. This peace is central to the great vision of God's people as we try to follow this message with love and faith. And so, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we do humbly come before you, and we ask that by your Spirit you help us to become more assured in our belief. And Jesus, teach us to hang on to your promise that you will be with us always, even to the ends of the age. Help us, Lord God, to become unified by your Spirit in belonging. And help us to work towards peace and love from God the Father. And help us to be faithful in our behavior. Forgive us when we stray from your will in our lives. And help us to remember that all we do is to be done to the glory of God the Father. Amen.